Welcome to another deep dive. Today we're doing something really quite unique. Instead of the usual articles or papers, our source is this, well, massive real-time online forum thread. Think of it like a digital stream of consciousness from a very active community. So our mission today, basically, navigate this huge, sometimes messy, raw data. We're trying to pull out the interesting bits about online culture, gaming, fan communities, even how geopolitics gets discussed in these informal spaces. It's really about seeing how ideas and opinions spread, you know, how they ripple through these fast-moving environments. It's a shortcut, maybe, to seeing what's actually shaping online talk.
Exactly. And it's important to remember this isn't just noise or random posts. It's a snapshot. You see how all these different thoughts, the humor, specific niche interests, and even bigger cultural comments just collide and bounce off each other. We're really looking for the patterns here, the insights into how these folks communicate and, well, what they actually care about.
Okay, so let's unpack this a bit, starting with maybe the general vibe. It's super fast-paced, very interactive, and it definitely has its own language. Like, you see filtered swear words like SM, BERF, tons of acronyms, and these phrases that just get repeated, almost like inside jokes. You can't just say that.
Yeah.
Was one that popped up. It feels like you've kind of stumbled into a private club.
Yeah, and that's a key point. These linguistic quirks, they're not just for show. They act as this kind of social glue. It immediately creates a very distinct us, you know, an in-warp feel, like using noon for a new post, that's a classic example, or slang like scrunklies for, what was it, low-level game demons, and then you get memes like Bricks Feast, which is fascinating, right? Taking a big geopolitical thing and boiling it down into community shorthand, it really shows how these subcultures just emerge. Using humor, shared understanding, that's their currency.
And the mix of topics is just wild. One minute, someone's genuinely upset about a lost cat.
Yeah.
The next, someone's posting this incredibly detailed analysis of a game strategy. The tone just swings all over the place.
Absolutely. That's what really jumped out at me, too, how these totally different conversations just weave together. It reflects how people's interests aren't just in neat little boxes online, right? A gaming post might suddenly turn into a political comment. It really paints a picture of this digital space where everything's kind of interconnected.
You're right, that in-group identity, it's really palpable.
Yeah.
But doesn't that kind of language barrier also make it maybe harder for newcomers to join? Is there a downside?
That's a really good question. And yeah, while it builds that strong group feeling, these communities often sort of rely on new people eventually figuring out the lingo. It's not like the door is completely shut, but it does filter for people who are willing to, you know, immerse themselves. It's almost a self-regulating thing, keeping that unique culture going.
Okay, so speaking of community dynamics, one of the really big dramas we saw playing out in this thread was all about Homestuck.
Mm-hmm.
There was major news about the unofficial Homestuck collection, the UHC. It's this huge fan project that basically mirrored the original site. And apparently it's been taken down due to legal talks with Andrew Hussey, the creator. And the community reaction.
Mm.
Wow, people are speculating like crazy about why Hussey did it. Some think he wants to destroy the project, others calling him an egomaniac, saying he's lost faith or is just being domineering.
Yeah, this isn't just some minor disagreement. It feels like a critical moment for digital IP, really. This whole Homestuck thing, it really highlights that shifting power dynamic. You've got these deeply invested fan communities
mm-hmm.
who can, through collective action, kind of push back against traditional ideas of who owns what. It makes you rethink what author endorsed even means anymore. And you see it right there in the thread, the community scrambling to save the collection, sharing torrent links for this Asset Pack V2 thing. They're actively trying to preserve it.
And then, like, that wasn't enough. There's this other controversy bubbling up alongside it. Rumors about an animated Homestuck show by Viv Zipop, the person behind Hell of a Boss. And the reaction seems overwhelmingly negative. Concerns about voice casting, like Toby Fox voicing John. Mm-hmm. People worried about the art style not fitting. Or fears it'll become what some are calling woke groomer cartoons.
Oh.
Pretty strong language.
It really throws that tension between creator control and fan expectations into sharp relief, doesn't it? Fans have their own interpretations, right? Like how Dave Strider is supposed to be emotionless and then a new adaptation comes along and it mm-hmm. clashes. So then you get speculation like maybe this is just a fake pilot or even some kind of humiliation ritual for Hussey. It shows what can happen when a creator and their core fan base get really, really out of sync.
Yeah.
It can shake the whole foundation.
So with that kind of intense reaction, do you think creators now have to consider this level of fan power, this sort of collective action? Or is Homestuck still kind of unique in that way?
That's a great point to raise. I mean, it's not every fan base, obviously, but Homestuck really does show a shift, I think. Creators who just ignore their established communities, well, they might be doing it at their own risk now, because the internet empowers fans not just to consume, but to like actively participate, to build, even to preserve things in ways that really challenge old ownership models. It kind of points towards a future where maybe the most successful franchises will need a more, I don't know, collaborative or at least more transparent approach with their biggest fans.
Okay, so shifting gears from those fan battles, the thread was also just packed with video game talk, like really detailed commentary. It's clearly a big hub for gamers, and their discussions show this mix of like deep critique but also creative ideas. Yeah, take Shin Megami Tensei. People weren't just playing it. They were dissecting plot holes, debating demon leveling, fusion mechanics. Someone even mapped out their dream Megaton, basically, how they'd redesign the whole series if they could. That's dedication. And it wasn't just SMTV. Dragon's Dogma 2 got similar treatment. Lots of talk about the wandering pawns system. And a pretty colorful breakdown of player character types. Some were kind of specific community terms, like Yirrindal, self-inserters, and some more, well, blunt or crude labels the community uses, things like pedo-coomers or literal gays, which, you know, it's jarring, but it reflects that unfiltered shorthand they use.
Right. That whole section really underscores just how deeply engaged these users are, not just with the story, but the nuts and bolts, the mechanics, the lore, the community challenges. It's way beyond just saying, I liked it or I didn't. It's this constant critical analysis and this desire for specific tweaks and improvements. Honestly, it's a gold mine if you want to understand what really matters to players on a granular level and how they collectively imagine the perfect version of a game.
And it wasn't just new games either. There was this really interesting look back at different eras of internet content. People talking about the AAR era, after action reports, you know, those text summaries of games, then the Let's Play era, and now the stream era. And there's this definite sense of nostalgia, people missing their old favorite Let's Players. One comment really summed it up. Everything's different and I don't like it and I'm sad in. We also saw lots on Kid Icarus, Uprising, remembering quotes, Monster Hunter Stories, debating aesthetic changes, Deltarune, focusing on characters like Tenna and Queen, who's likable, who isn't, oh, and Pokemon. Debates over the fairy type, was it just psychic but better, and planning tournaments for Showdown, using game terms like Gym Leaders and Elite Four, plus fighting games Dota 2, Virtua Fighter, Guilty Gear for Honor, just a huge range.
Yeah, that whole discussion offers this great window into how people perceive online entertainment evolving, and that nostalgia is powerful. There were also some pretty sharp comments, like contrasting what they see as Gen Z's lack of creative soul compared to older online content. It's basically the community grappling with constant digital change and that feeling of, you know, something being lost as things move forward.
Okay, now, while a lot of the political chat in this thread was, like we said, through memes and shorthand the brick stuff, for example, it's really important to point out that these raw online spaces can also be where extremely serious claims surface. Sometimes unverified, but with urgent calls to action. And just to be clear, our role here is simply to report impartially on what we found in the source material. So, yeah, bricks came up quite a bit. Phrases like nuke bricks, debates on which countries to target, like spare the BNC and only nuke the RIAS. Mm-hmm. And then these really drawn statements like bricks can't be toppled.
Right. And these short, punchy, often meme-like comments. They're reflecting real-world geopolitics, but filtered through this very informal, sometimes provocative online lens. It's interesting just to observe how major global topics get digested and spat back out in these spaces. It's often totally different from mainstream news. It's like a kind of digital political shorthand.
But then, amidst all that, the thread also included this extremely detailed and disturbing post. It alleged that Ukrainian children were being displayed online, essentially like products in a catalog, by the Russian Occupation Administration. The post claimed you could sort these kids by age, gender, looks, health, even personality traits. It said there were clear photos, faces uncovered. It alleged they were being forcibly re-registered, given new documents matched with Russian families, describing it as digital child trafficking and crimes against humanity. And the post ended with this direct call for action governments, international groups, media, individuals to do something.
Yeah, that specific post really stands out. It brings attention to an incredibly grave alleged human rights situation. And it really highlights how even in these chaotic, informal online places, information like this critical, urgent, even if unverified, can surface. It definitely raises big questions about the role these platforms play in spreading claims like that, claims that are potentially urgent and how people react. It just underscores that these raw digital spaces, despite seeming casual, can suddenly become a platform for discussing incredibly serious global issues.
Wow, what a dive that was. Through this sort of digital maze, we've seen this incredibly rich, complex picture of online communities, how they juggle everything from the totally trivial to profoundly serious. And that mix of creativity, sharp criticism, and, controversy that seems to define how they talk, it really is like a mini internet, giving you these unique insights.
Absolutely. And if you kind of zoom out, connect it to the bigger picture, it just shows that even in what might seem like niche corners of the internet, the entire spectrum of human experience is playing out, you know, from the super personal stuff right up to the globally significant. It's just expressed in ways that are often very raw, very unfiltered. And the challenge for us as people trying to understand this is figuring out how to separate the signal from the, well, the considerable noise and to grasp the dynamics underneath it all.
So maybe the final thought to leave you with is this. Given how fast online interaction and information sharing is changing, how does learning to do this kind of deep dive into raw digital sources, these fragments, these memes, these intense fan debates, how does that actually equip us to better understand the wider world, especially when so much of that world is now expressed in exactly these ways?